Hi, I'm Brian Redman, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 374, September 3rd, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Guarding. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And, of course, we adore our Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge. On today's program, Renault admit to a PK voodoo doll. Will Fisichella be Badoer's replacement? Raikkonen to stay in Formula One in 2010, and of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful. How about yourself, Mr. Rogers?
Absolutely wonderful. I mean, every time we go to Belgium, something happens, and there's a competition of how ridiculous the FIA could be, and now, here we go, Renault being investigated for... I mean, it's taken him a year to listen to all the gags that came out of Singapore. I mean, every podcast, every show mocked Nelson Piquet for actually finally contributing to the team by crashing at the right time.
The right moment. And now they think that it's a conspiracy that he did it, but he was told to do it. It gets to the point of being absolutely and completely ludicrous. Okay, first, how do they communicate that to him? Because... all the radio transmissions are recorded.
They don't. They use the voodoo doll. That's what's under investigation. They have a little Nelsino voodoo doll in a car, and they have this little track in the back. And of course, there's some shrines.
So there's one. There's at least one person on the team from French Guiana.
And you got the rubber chicken, you know, and you got all this going on. And then at the right time, whammo! You take the voodoo doll and you crash it into the wall.
Is the voodoo doll sitting in one of the 1/18th replicas of the car?
Yes.
And then you just kind of reach in there, pull the wheel out of his
yes.
head.
Yes. And of course, there's chicken blood involved and all that, but this works. Well, how else could they?
It's about one of the only theories that, you know, actually could possibly make sense.
Well, deep in the jungles of Jamaica, this is the one I got.
It's almost like the FIA goes, well, we've run out of stuff to do. Let's come up with some kind of investigation. We really don't care how ludicrous and complete out there it is, but we'll bring it up anyway. And then, of course, what's Bernie have to do? Bernie's going to walk up and pour a little gasoline on it.
That's what Bernie does.
Well, Bernie's like, any press is good press.
So we find out that people were interviewed by the FIA. The investigation has been going on. People like Pat Simmons, Fernando Alonso, were all spoken to in one of those little offices. You know, with the metal chair and the metal table and the spotlight.
So now that Nelsinho's been axed, has he changed his story since they interviewed him?
Well, if we recall, the ranting and raving we got from Nelsinho was ridiculous in itself. I thought he was slashing his career. Apparently, according to Autosport Portugal, it was his father who leaked the rumor.
And it's a rumor.
I don't know. But the whole thing is absolutely ludicrous, and I can't believe that they're spending valuable time on this.
Yeah, when there's got to be something, you know, they should be looking into the illegalities of the Force India car. There's no way that car could have gotten to second place in the grid without something.
Not only that, but they say it goes beyond beyond the crash by Nelson Piquet. There's a bigger, you know, deep culture at Renault undermining the moral fabric of Formula One.
Well, if you go back far enough, you know, you can look at some of Flavio's early years, and he was accused of actually using his team to launder money. You know, hey, come on. It's Formula One.
Not only
They're
that.
All decadent.
But I just find the whole thing a little bit on the bizarre side. Especially after so much time has gone by.
Yeah, and why not bring this up in the 4-week break? You know, we got lots more time to talk about it.
Exactly. We're getting ready for Monza. Giancarlo Fisichella and Force India are now the talk of the town. This is sort of...
We have a phenomenal Belgian Grand Prix again that's given us all kinds of stuff to talk about for 2 weeks. You know, just like it did last year. And just... And Monza has got to come up with this and kind of basically submarine Force India's chance in the spotlight.
Exactly. That was my thought. Why would they... It's absolutely bizarre. I want to get NASA's thought real quickly on this, and then we're going to go jump right to the machismo man himself of last weekend, of course, Giancarlo Fisichella. NAS, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, sir. Hello to everybody.
How's the tea this weekend?
Tea is mentally delighted. My thanks to Mr. Faub.
And Lipton, of course.
But of course. In a Starbucks cup.
Yeah, all these people should be sending us checks.
They should be sending us checks. Pay up, damn it.
So your thoughts on this bizarre investigation with Renault, and do you really believe that they could fake this? And that crash was actually quite severe.
It was a pretty hard crash, and that's what tends me to lean that this was not staged. It was a very hard crash. There were other things he could have done, just spin out or something, or had some parking issues. After all,
he could have called Schumacher for some advice on how to park the car and sort of ruin everything for everybody. But
well, especially at the Singapore track, where you've got that one turn before you go into the grandstands, where you could have just overshot the corner a little bit and, you know, bumped into the barriers, you know, to take yourself out.
What the truth is, I don't know, and I won't be surprised. Well, this thing was reported first on Globo TV, the Brazilian network that carries Formula
Correct.
One. So what's going to happen, FIA is going to get to these people and ask them to conk out who said what. And we'll see what happens. But you know what, this race fixing, if you go back in history, I don't know the exact year, but we're talking before World War II, there was a race in Libya, Tripoli Grand Prix, where the race was fixed because there was a lottery involved and all that. So this won't be the first time. What the truth is, I don't know. So I'm not saying Renault is right or wrong. But I saw an interesting, you know, there's always two sides to the story. I read an interesting comment from Frank Montani, who had, you know, worked for Renault and Flavio. And he said, for a racing driver, it's very hard to give up a position when the team calls you. So he said, crashing is, you know, he says, I don't believe that this happened.
Giving up your entire race would even be more difficult.
Yeah, and I thought his comment calling it science fiction was pretty correct and spot on. I mean, I was just blown away when I saw this story. But of course, why should I be surprised?
But you never know. You know, stranger things have happened. And when this powder thing came out, when I first heard, I thought it was a joke. I thought the, you know, document faxing and texting was all a joke. I mean, I thought, you know, but boy, there was more to it.
That's true. But I refuse to believe this one because it's too ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's too much transparency in the paddock, and all the recordings, the transmissions are all recorded. There is no way to do this secretly, not that I know of.
You would almost have to have set it up before the race even started.
Well, you know.
And how are you going to know that, you know, somebody, everybody else is going to be on the right strategy for you to pull it off?
It's called a crystal ball.
No. See, the guy, Alonso, qualified, you know, mid-pack or whatever, and it was a street race. So in terms of scheming up something like this, it's possible. I'm not saying it happened, but it's possible.
Well, yeah. Scheming is always happening.
But yeah.
At what point did they know that Alonso, you know, would think that you'd have to have this in place?
Well, they knew he was stopping on lap 13, I believe.
Yeah,
so,
but they also, the weekend started, they didn't know that he was going to, you know, end up taking a 10-grid penalty for an engine change. It was going to drop him back to mid-pack.
All I can think of.
There's so many things that would have to go on for this to happen. That just,
it's impossible.
Well, I just hope Nelson Piquet Sr. is playing his prank, you know, which he used to do with Nigel Mansell all the time. But, I mean, you know, basically what they're doing is, it's, you know, it's like it has happened in the Olympics also. They have taken medals 20, 30 years before.
Yeah.
You know, if you attack the integrity of the system, you know, the man is going to come down hard, as he should.
No, but the whole thing is bewildering. I'm sure they will be exonerated. But still, I think it's insane.
I have a feeling that this tone of yours would be very different if Nanda was second in the championship and Hamilton was leading and the charges were against McLaren.
It's possible. I could be different.
Yeah.
That's true.
Not possible. That is. It is what it is, Mr. Rogers.
It is what it is, and I admit to that.
You are guilty of that sin before the trial even starts.
I mean, that's why I drive a French car. I am what I am, and I wear it on my sleeve, so, and on my head. So there you have it. But anyway, let's go right to Fisichella, Force India. The Shabashes were flying. Steve, I see you've got the Indian flag up. Kingfisher beer is rolling.
No, that's the Mexican flag.
Oh, that was close.
Close as I got. Phenomenal race for Fisichella. The fact that he got pole. You're sitting there on Saturday going,
and you were, how many beers did I have? Not only that, but then you realize, okay, it's a fluke. It's a strange grid. You've got the Trulli on the front, the Italian front row.
But the thing is like, this is the kind of grid that you would have expected if it had been raining. If it had been one of those funky weather days in Spa.
Well, you know, talk about raining. I had to work on Saturday, so I get up in the morning and I go on this website, autosport.com, which is always the first website I go to, and I see Fisichella on pole. So my initial reaction was that he went out in the dry and then it rained, so I didn't pay any attention. I go to work, I come back, and I tape the qualifying, and I'm waiting and waiting for the rain and drizzle, this and that. I said, what the hell is going on here? And a friend of mine is on vacation. He calls me to find out what was going on. So I said, oh, by the way, Fisichella was in pole. He said, oh, was this rain in qualifying?
Yeah.
I said, no. Very bizarre.
The other thing that just popped into my head was, Fisichella on pole. So he ran into Kubica? You know, it's like...
So the only other thing I can think of was that maybe he was using rocket fuel. But then I realized Michael Waltrip does not have a car in Formula One, or team in Formula One.
That's very good, Nas. But anyway, I was very impressed. And you know what? The irony of it all, you know, the talk of him, you know, it was just a dream that he would love to drive for Ferrari, you know, Italiano, Monza, the Tifosi. And that was just a dream. And then this performance comes out after the rumors, which, I mean, even Montezemolo must have been impressed. I mean, it was absolutely outstanding.
Well, I think everybody in the paddock was impressed.
It was Rubinho-esque.
The Force India, you could put this much pace in the Force India, and, you know, they obviously nailed the setup for Fisichella.
Not only that, but the old geezer thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the old man of the sea is now doing so well in Formula One. Now, I remember when Jacques Villeneuve said that these newer cars with the slicks, the setup and everything, would fit his style better. And apparently, maybe it is more for the older dudes. I don't know.
It really boils down to, you know, if you have the package, you will be able to deliver.
Thank you, Mr. Federal Express.
Yeah. Today I'm kind of like UPS.
Okay.
Big brown truck going slow.
But no, it was very impressive. And of course, BMW, I mean, they want to end on a high, and they had a great weekend.
Yeah, another team that kind of came out of the blue and had basically their best qualifying of the season, getting both cars into the third session for the first time all year, and actually, you know, and not losing at least one car in the first session, as they have in many of the races this year. Just a good weekend. And, you know, apparently, we've got this new car, basically, from previous years, and kind of points out the fact that, you know, the playing field was pretty level, except you had a handful of teams that had really good cars on slower tracks. You get into a medium speed track, or what amounts to more of a high speed track, and some of the other teams were really close to nailing the car. They just didn't get enough of that low end speed and traction.
And of course, great weekend for us, great race. And a terrible weekend again for Monsieur Jenson Button. This championship is slipping away race by race.
It's slipping faster and faster every week. He did have some advantage in the fact that one of his rivals didn't score. So that's a slight benefit. But again, he didn't score either, which means he didn't have a chance to take away any points from somebody. And his teammate didn't help him out much by taking points away from Sebastian Vettel, but Vettel's basically making up the points he lost in Valencia. So it's kind of a wash after these two races. But with Jens not finishing, you might have to bring out the DNF chapel here pretty quick. Well, we're going back to Asia here pretty soon, and that's where the DNF chapel seems to have its most pull.
Well, the DNF chapel has been in mothballs for months. I mean, that would take some cleaning and some work to get that sucker out. Obviously, it's an old converted mobile home from Alabama.
In other words, you're going to go find the picture. God knows where you put it.
But no, I feel sorry for Jenson Button. It's just hard to believe because I had predicted that in Spa, he needed to do something, and it complete failure. And now, I know there was a racing incident. He didn't mean to get caught up. But still, he's got to stay out of trouble.
Well, the other thing, too, is that he's got to qualify better. He hasn't qualified well in the last couple of races. You know, it's easy to win races when you're, one of the two guys at the very front of the pack because you can get away from all the schlamazel. And then, any place past fifth before you're at the very back, you're in the knockout zone.
Not only that, but they've waited too long because now everybody's catching up. And when you've got a Force India on pole, you're in big trouble for the rest of the season. They obviously don't have
the top end.
The rupees for development. It's true.
Yeah, well, it's starting to look like they haven't been able to bring up much anything new for the car. So they're kind of stuck with that car that they had at the beginning of the season with just minor modifications. And you've got teams like McLaren and Ferrari. Ferrari has basically given up development of the car and are still looking faster.
Exactly. And the point is, I think they really need to go completely aggressive. Go light. Get at the front of the grid in qualifying, because if you don't, you're going to have trouble like you did in Spa. And Monza is going to be the same situation for Button.
But even that didn't seem to help them much, because Barrichello was one of the lightest cars in the grid, and that didn't really buy him much.
That's true, but with the kind of starts he's had...
Yeah, doesn't help when you wait for the rest of the field to get off the grid before you go.
I mean,
no, that doesn't help.
They've got to get that sorted out.
Yeah, got to figure out what's going on, whether it's an ECU issue or if it's just, something needs to be in his ear ready. Rubens, the light's red! Rubens! Go!
That was just awful for Rubens and bizarre to watch, for sure.
Yeah, the way it looked on the grid, it looked like he stalled. And then
he starts to
slowly roll away.
Almost saw the waving arm.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen in a while, and we haven't seen this year. Nobody stalled on the grid.
No, you rarely see that anymore because the ECU does such a good job of preventing the driver from screwing up.
Well, anyway, Raikkonen wins the race. A lot of people say he won't be at Ferrari next year. Now Raikkonen is coming out saying, you know what, if I'm not at Ferrari, I'm still in Formula One. Everybody's talking about rallying, WRC, Fiat Punto, Abarth. But in the end, it looks like he's going to be in Formula One. Now there was even talk, the silly season is completely out of control. There was talk about Fernando going to McLaren instead of Ferrari. And then there's talk about Kimi Raikkonen going to McLaren. And now I heard that he might go to Renault. Sort this out for me, Steven.
Call me in December. this is going to be one of the most bizarre, silly seasons that we've seen in a long time. We've got teams that are leaving, and then you've got, we're looking at a minimum of three new teams going into next year. So there's a whole bunch of open seats. I don't think any of those three teams can afford to pull away one of the more quality drivers, but what that does is it makes it easier for the upper mid-pack teams like Renault and Toyota and Williams, gives them a better opportunity to maybe pull in a driver who's a little bit more talented than they might otherwise be able to get. And then you've got guys like, Kubica who's going to be available. And then it looks like, it's all rumors. It would be really nice if somebody would announce in Italy who their driver lineup is going to be, so we can kind of take some pieces off the board.
Well, that might happen. Robert Kubica was even spoken about taking the Felipe Massa Ferrari for Monza.
Well, Felipe is pretty much out for 2010. They've basically come back and said that recently.
For 2009. He'll be back in 2010.
2010, yeah. Everything seems to be going really well with his tests. But, you know, if I'm any doctor who's worth his salt, I don't let him back in a car this year just because you want to make sure whatever is going on with his head is completely healed before he gets back in a Formula 1 car.
Absolutely. Now, Vitantonio Liuzzi saying he's dying without racing. And obviously, he's hoping that Giancarlo Fisichella gets the nod to go to Ferrari.
Well, he does.
That's possible. He's talented, but he hasn't been racing lately. Giancarlo Fisichella has proved himself last weekend. It's recent. You can look at the papers and still see the stories. But I submit to you that if Giancarlo Fisichella isn't announced by this Friday to go to Ferrari, it's not going to happen because there's. You know, certain things that have to happen for him to just get in that Ferrari and start racing. You have to acclimate to the team. You got to talk to the engineers. You got to know the steering wheel.
Yeah.
They got to set up the car. They got to make a seat. All that takes time.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're running out of time. So I'm starting to lean to the thought that it may not be the dream of all dreams for Giancarlo Fisichella, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that the press isn't sitting outside of Maranello waiting to watch somebody walk in to go for a seat fitting.
There is a price for everything, and Ferrari engine bills have not been paid by Force India, so they may basically kind of, you know, force Dr. Malia to work some sort of a deal. Because there's also a report that Liuzzi will be doing some straight line test. So, if they don't get Fisichella, it will be very hard. You know, Kubica can get an early release from BMW. They're going nowhere this year, and next year they're going out of Formula One anyway. But, you know, this guy, Stefano Domenicali, was interviewed on another podcast. And he said that, on the BBC podcast, that is, that they will announce within 3 days.
Okay.
So by the time this thing is posted on the web, there is a good chance that...
So basically,
that,
like you said, by Friday there will be that makes someone sense. In the car.
Yeah, because, the seat fitting and everything has... There's a routine that has to take place. And I hope it... Because we need some excitement.
Yeah, and I'd love Luca Badoer coming up.
I just provided some.
On Sunday going, but I can score points at Monza.
Listen, you know what? Luca Badoer is a swell guy, but it's time for the gold watch, you know, the retirement severance pay, and say, you know, hasta la vista.
Yeah, I'm moving him over to race engineer or something.
Something, but he's not even a good test driver anymore. He's just he's too long in the tooth.
And he's too far away from his racing days.
Well, the talk now is that Fisichella, if he does not do these remaining races, he probably will get the job as a test driver.
And because
Luca, it's one of those cases, be careful what you wish for, just might come true. And same thing happened with Hecky. He wanted to go from Renault to a world championship winning team, and look what happened.
Yeah, but when he went to Renault, they were a world championship winning team.
No, I mean, the year he was there, obviously they were not doing good.
Yeah.
Which
well,
happens.
The problem is he's just had some bad teammates. You know, troublemakers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cage rattlers.
So there you have it. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We got a lot of Motorsports Mondial to cover. So
yes.
We'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your beautiful host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the dude himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid.
Mit jaye hum चलो सुबह शाम हरे कृष्ण हरे राम
Greetings and radiant regards from Spa-Francorchamps. And did you say beautiful host?
I did.
I disagree with you. It's the most beautiful host.
There you go.
Host with the most.
Yep, zeros are flying out of my pocket.
Absolutely.
I'm straight up handsome. But the beautiful for women.
Yeah, but when you're French, you can say that.
Okay, some Indian music to start this edition to celebrate the historic day in qualifying as Physico and Force India take pole position. Very, very impressive, I must say. And, of course, you mentioned with Jarno being on the front row also, it was an all-Italian front row, which I believe has not happened since Rio 1984, when there's a little sadness here, when Roman Ilio De Angelis was on pole in his Lotus, and Milanese Michele Alboreto was second on the grid in his Ferrari. Unfortunately, both these drivers were killed in testing accidents. De Angelis at Paul Ricca in his, remember that low slung Brabham? And Alboreto, of course, at Lossard's Ring testing his Le Mans Audi. Now, your thoughts on the qualifying. After the qualifying, did you really think Fisi had a chance to win the race? Seriously.
I didn't. And even Fisichella, in post-race interviews, was hoping for points. I liked his realistic objective, and even Vijay Mallya, I'm sure, after qualifying, and in the morning of race day, they were convinced, if they can get some points, because so far they had no points this season. And points means...
Or ever.
Rubles. Or ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they need these points for money. So it's very, very important to get those points. They were not looking at a win, but still, I mean...
Were you expecting him on the podium?
I was hoping for a podium, because I like Giancarlo Fisichella.
Mr. Fogg.
I thought he had an outside chance. The way his car performed in qualifying, that he had an outside chance to actually win the race. But once you gave a car you basically gave a Kurz-equipped car the ability to get up behind him, yeah, pretty much. What really blew me away was the fact that he was able to stay with
yes.
him
during the race.
Very impressive.
Because typically you're thinking, you go back to last year in the Ferrari, you expect him to get past Fisichella and you expect him to just stretch that lead out, until he's 10, 15 seconds ahead, and he couldn't get more than 2.5 in front of him.
Not only that, but when you're in the front of the spear, following the Ferrari, just staying with them, it's easy to be under pressure and make a mistake. I thought it was an outstanding weekend.
Yeah, great race. And this was Fisico's fourth career pole position and the first since Malaysia 2006. And, of course, first front row and pole position for Force India. And Fisico described his pole-winning effort as the best moment of my life. And it had to be, especially coming at the Spa. I mean, it's just a great track. And as far as this track is concerned, this is it. And this track I was watching some of their, aerial footage and all that. Spa is beautiful to look at even with no cars on it. Would you agree with me, sir?
Absolutely. Especially when you leave Valencia, which is, I'm not
sitting on the dock of the bay.
Right. And then you go to Spa, which is a real racetrack. Yeah. I mean, come on, guys.
Spa, next race, Monza, that's the essence of motor racing.
Correct.
Steeped in history and beautiful. Okay, but I have to say, I felt bad for him in the press conference. He looked like Fisico at the end of the 2005 Japanese Grand Prix, where he lost a race he should have won. This one was very hard for him because he did not have the Kurz. He was a victim of the Kurz, But there was a race in Japan that he should have won. Man denying him victory back then at Suzuka it was on the last lap, if you remember, was the same low-key, the quiet storm as at Spa on Sunday. Kimi Raikkonen. It was very nice to see him win a race, and he has changed. He looks very different from the days at McLaren, but I was very happy for him. Good to see Ferrari win.
Even from at Ferrari last year. It's the long hair. You see some on the podium, and yeah. You're like going, wait a minute. Is that, wow, that's Kimi?
Yeah.
It's his James Hunt look.
Yeah. And Raikkonen's victory was win number 18 of his career and first since Spanish Grand Prix of last year. I mean, that's like, wow, a long time ago.
It was good result for me, for the team. We knew that we have all the chances if we get a good start, and that's what I managed to do. And I mean, probably not the fastest car in the race, but overall we were fastest, so it was okay. Yeah, I know. I knew that after the safety car is the easiest chance to get past him, and just needed to make sure that I get very close to him in the first corner and then get good run on him. I got a bit too close to him on top of Aarhus and lost the front end and run a bit over the curves. But I mean, I used the curves on the top, and it was it made me able to get past him. So I knew that it gives us a very good chance to win the race, and that's what we managed to do.
It was also first win of the season for Ferrari. Kimi now has 4 wins at Spa, 2 with McLaren and 2 with Ferrari. And you know, what is really helping, my understanding is Jensen has not been on the podium since the Turkish Grand Prix, I believe.
Correct.
And what has really helped him, he has a lot of friends now. Last 6 races have seen 6 different drivers. So any time Vettel is not winning, or Weber or Barrichello, you know, it's going to help him. And Sebastian Vettel's 3rd place pushed teammate Mark Webber, who failed to score at Spa, into 4th place in the championship. And of course, Brown drivers remain at the top with 5 races remaining. Button's lead is now 16 points thanks to his first lap crash with Romain Grosjean. Grosjean is saying it was Button's fault. Button is saying it was his fault. And in the media, Grosjean is not getting much help. Most of the people are putting them. But these things happen in motor racing.
It's a wreck. It's the rook.
there you go. And of course, two-legged Rubinho, he had 2 points from his smoking 7th place finish. So all that. This was such a chance for Button's challengers to really win a race or come in second. But, you know, he has been very lucky. But, you know, the thing is, the more and more races are back and, you know, in history, and few are remaining, it's looking better and better for Button, because sooner or later he's going to win a race or come on the podium.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but if he has a DNF or another schmazel and he does not finish and one of the challengers win the race, then it's harem. Then it's Abu Dhabi would be like Sao Paulo last year.
Yeah. Kind of like what Clark and I were saying in the first segment. He's got to get out of the middle of the pack for qualifying, because he just puts him at too much of a risk.
I'm talking of Abu Dhabi. That's the final race of the season this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the Cole Porter program night and day. You know, going to start around just before sunset. It gets very hot in that part of the world.
Yeah, we call it happy hour.
A happy hour? Mm-hmm. Wow. And then what will be the second hour?
Giggling.
Oh, good. Okay, a BMW. This was a surprise. Was the only team with both cars in the points. And Kubica's 4th and Heidfeld's 5th, they got 9 points. And the 9 points they got in Spa equals the tally they had for the 11 previous races. So this was a big weekend for them. And Spa is not very far from Germany. Actually, I was watching on the Inside Grand Prix program. Dr. Mario Tyson was saying that so close to his home that he sleeps in his own place in Germany. And I remember when Michael Schumacher used to race there, they would always say the Spa is closer to his home than Nürburgring. So good for these people. And now they're talking about alternating Spa with Nürburgring. They got to have Spa every year.
That's what I was saying. I don't like that alternating. They could alternate Nürburgring with Valencia. Other German
Hockenheimring?
Yes, Hockenheim. Yeah.
And of course, this is interesting about Fisichella going to Ferrari. If that happens, if it happens, then he will be welcomed by Rob Smedley as Fisico baby, because they used to work together at Renault in 2003. And then you already touched on the with Antonio Liuzzi. Here is a man who won. Now talk about not getting a break in Formula One. He won. This is with Antonio Liuzzi, 7 wins from 10 starts in the 2004 Formula 3000 Championship. And I saw him win at Imola in 2004. And that year, you know, Michael Schumacher won the first 6-7 races. Liuzzi was also on the same program in the Formula 3000 Championship, which, of course, is now called GP2. And But I would love to see this happen. Fisico goes to Ferrari, Liuzzi, let's see what he can do. And like you mentioned, you know, his racing is killing me. So I think he should go out for some gelato with Roberta Flack. She knows all about Killing Me Softly with his song. You like the song, sir?
That is just so beautiful, Nasser.
It's very touching. lady from Philadelphia. Okay, talking of he got himself in some hot spice with Dr. Vijay Mallya. Team Force India, their commercial director Ian Phillips. I've known of him forever. Basically, he's very, very well known in motorsports marketing, Formula One. They've been there for all his life, and he got in some hot water by saying on another podcast that they expect a call from Maranello anytime now for Fisico, and then it was Force India and Dr. Vijay Mallya put out a statement that we have a rebuttal. You know, there's no truth to it, blah, blah, blah. And they, what really surprised me, the press release said that he is not the authorized spokesperson for Force India, which is possible because he's the commercial director. But I hear him on every race on, you know, on another podcast, so I don't know what they're trying to do there. Okay, I'll change the subject now. Red Bull, Renault to go. Oh, let me check the polls. Monza will be a busy place for press releases. It looks like Mercedes will announce Red Bull as a partner for 2010. Norbert Hogg's dream will come true to have a Mercedes engine power a race-winning German driver. So I have a feeling that they will jump to Mercedes.
Yes, especially which is fine. I mean, I remember Mercedes-powered Adrian Newey McLarens going, Kablamo!
Yeah, these things happen.
Well, they do.
Yeah. And now shall we do some a Godiva bag on the Belgian Grand Prix, some historical notes?
Absolutely. Historical notes on Spa are always intriguing and exciting.
And I love history, as you know. The first Formula One, and, you know, racing has been going in Belgium forever. Chimay was so famous, as you know, the street circuit. The first Formula One Belgian Grand Prix in 1950 was won by Juan Manuel Fangio, surprise, surprise, in his Alfa Romeo, and the race was staged at Spa when the track was over 14 kilometers in length. And not much in terms of safety, of course.
Yeah, well, it was like only like three turns, too.
yeah. Go off. If you go off the track, you're hitting a tree in the Ardennes Forest. In 1960, Jack Brabham won the race, but this is remembered more for the tragic deaths of two British drivers. One was Chris Bristow. He crashed on lap 17 at Malmedy and was killed. And a few laps later, Alan Stacey crashed his Lotus near Masta after being hit in the face by a bird. He crashed, of course, and was thrown from his car and died from his injuries. And Jackie Stewart also had a very bad accident here, and so did Stirling Moss. In 1961, Phil Hill won the race in his championship year driving the beautiful Carlo Kitty-designed Ferrari 156, also known as the Sharknose Ferrari. This is one of my all-time favorite racing cars. Jim Clark scored his first Grand Prix win here, Spa that is, in 1962 in a Lotus Climax 25. 1967, Dan Gurney took a famous victory in his Eagle, which was built in Santa Ana, California. The following year, Bruce McLaren scored his first Grand Prix win in his own machine, beautiful McLaren, orange color, very nice. And apart from Spa, two other tracks have hosted Formula One races in Belgium. Nivelles, have you ever been to the town called Nivelles?
I have been to the town, but not...
The track is pretty much gone now. Yeah. Nivelles had a track which saw Formula One action in 1972 and 74. Emerson Fittipaldi was the winner on both occasions. Then there is Zolder, a name no Formula One fan will ever forget. It was here in 1982 that Gilles Villeneuve's turbocharged Ferrari 126C collided with the march of Jochen Mass and was launched into the air. And ironically, it was at the same track 2 years earlier that his 1982 Ferrari teammate Didier Pironi scored his first Grand Prix win as a Ligier pilot. Mario Andretti won the Belgian Grand Prix at Zolder in his championship year 1978, of course driving for Lotus. And if I'm not mistaken, this was the first Grand Prix win for Lotus 79. This is the beautiful car we saw at Laguna Seca last year. Eddie Jordan's fun-loving team had their finest moment in the wet at Spa in the late 90s, with Damon Hill giving the team their first Formula win ahead of teammate Ralf Schumacher. Ralf had an older brother who made his Formula One debut in a Jordan at the same track in 1991, and as Clark Rogers would remember very, you know, not so fondly, he won there no less than six times, but one of the wins was in a Renault-powered car, so... Right?
Totally.
So, yes, you would like that. They call him Michael. Willie Weber calls him Cash Cow. Das Super Size. Both Jim Clark and Ayrton Senna won at Spa-Francorchamps. 4 years in a row. And that was a brief historical waffle on the Belgian Grand Prix. And now we're back to the future. Sunday's racing action at Spa. A lot of other series were there. GP2, Formula Master, and Formula BMW. GP2, by the way, marked their 100. The weekend marked their 100th race, so which was pretty good. Did you see the pre-race half-hour show on Speed TV?
No, I did not. I didn't watch Speed. I watched the BBC.
Okay. How about you, Mr. Farr?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, Peter Winsor was doing an interview with some of the ex-drivers who were in GP2, Grosjean, Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Heikki Kovalainen, and it was interesting, very interesting actually. Feature race on Saturday won by Alvaro Parente of Portugal from pole position. First victory for Ocean Racing Technology in GP2. This team used to be known as BCN Competition in days gone by, which was about a year ago. This team is owned by Thiago Monteiro. His day of days in racing came in the 2005 U.S. Grand Prix, where he made his only podium appearance in Formula One. And though he was riding on Bridgestone, he still cannot stop singing praises of Michelin. Gee, I wonder why.
I love Michelin tires myself.
Yeah, me too. Okay, Nico Hülkenberg was second, but more importantly, his title challenger. Did anybody see the GP2 race or highlights?
No, I did not.
Okay, anytime you see Vitaly Petrov, his mama is also there.
She's exciting.
Oh, very exciting. And what happened? Let me read this first and I'll tell you what she did. Title challenger Vitaly Petrov from Russia dropped out due to engine kablamo. So Nico will soon be the second Nico to win the GP2 series in his rookie season. Namesake Rosberg won the inaugural GP2 championship in 2005. If Hülkenberg wins the GP2 championship at Monza, which is coming up soon, he will become the first driver to clinch the championship without going into the final weekend of the season, because this year the GP2 series will have the final race in Portimão, the beautiful track in Algarve, Portugal, on September 20th, and Lucas de Grassi was third. So what Mrs. Petrov does when he's smoking and, you know, running around the track, when he finally quits, the camera goes and she's in the pit box, you know, and she's like sliding on this on the guy, you know, one of the crew members, and he's like, hey, cool down. That's the reason you should not have family members in the pit box, and they get too emotional.
I agree. That's why we don't have family members in the studio.
Oh, yeah. But we are one happy family ourselves.
Of course.
Yeah. But we are the working class.
Yeah, indeed.
Don't let relatives allowed.
Not only blue collar, but blue caps also.
Indeed.
Mile 7. Thank you. Okay, Sunday's sprint race was won by Dutch driver Guido van der Garde. The weekend saw, I already mentioned, was the 100th race this weekend. And this series is, of course, owned by Bernie Ecclestone, Flavio Briatore, and Bruno Michel, who is also in charge, I believe, of the Renault Driver Development Program. And these friendly folks are launching GP3 next season, which will require each of the 10 teams to field 3 cars. And they'll have a 4-liter turbocharged Renault engine. Nice-looking car. Romain Grosjean has done some testing at Paul Ricard.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they should announce by the end of this month who the teams are. And I have a feeling a lot of drivers who are in Formula 3. See, the carrot they're dangling is just like GP2. All the races are in front of the Formula 1 team bosses. So I'm hoping that at least it will see a couple of young American drivers there. It will be interesting.
Absolutely. We need more young Americans in Formula 1.
Of course, in due course of time.
Lower formulas.
Yo. Okay, Formula Master. They were also at Spa. Swiss driver Fabio Laimer is on his way to winning this year's championship after his, I believe, was fifth win of the season in race one on Saturday. From pole position, Alexander Rossi from Nevada City, California, was fifth. And Sunday's race, too, saw second win of the season for Alexander Rossi, so this is very good for him. And, of course, he has a test with the Formula BMW team in December at Jerez. So, you know, things are looking very good for him. So we wish him and everybody all the best. Formula BMW Europe, race one on Saturday was won by your homeboy. You might want to start singing praises of this guy now, Jim Plow from France, with Felipe Nasser of Brazil second. And looking good to win the championship in his rookie year. He is now already part of the Red Bull Brigade, which is very, very good. And you have to perform to be, you know, picked up by these big companies. Plow was on top of the podium in race two also. He has now gone four races in a row that he has won, because he won both the races in Valencia also. So things are looking good for Monsieur Plow. We wish him all the best.
Absolutely.
American Le Mans Series at Mosport. David Mosport being Canada, of course, for those geographically challenged. David Brabham and Scott Sharp took pole and victory in their Highcroft Racing Acura Grand Am at Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, Montreal. Winners were Max Angelelli and Brian Frizzell in their Ford-powered Dallara, which brings me to the Nationwide Series race in Montreal, which I must say I enjoyed. It was an incredible finish. And you have to see it on sports program or YouTube, the way it ended. Okay, they were also, of course, at the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve. Marcus Ambrose from Australia took pole position, while homeboy Jacques Villeneuve qualified sixth. NASCAR boys on a road course in an alien land, and rain on the scarecrow could only mean harum scarum. And there was quite a harum scarum, like every few laps. The event turned into a Montreal monster mash. There was no Boris Pickett, but there was Boris Stead in the race. And it was a sad story. Apparently, the pace car led more laps than any race driver. So, but the end was exciting.
I heard.
And I'm coming to it. Ambrose dominated the race in the final lap till they came to the last corner. He made a slight mistake, and that was all cousin Carl Edwards needed to grab the lead and win. Local wonder, this Andrew Ranger, who once raced in Champ Cars, was third, or troisième, as the natives would call. You know, some years ago, I was at the Champ Car race here, and I was waiting to interview one of the Formula BMW drivers, actually this lady from New York, Julia Landau, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
And her teammate was one of these French-Canadian young kids, you know. So some of his girlfriend and lady friends were there, and they were talking to me, you know, about racing and all that. And Andrew Ranger had done very well the year before here in the U.S. in Champ Car. So I asked them, how is Andrew Ranger doing? And she goes, oh, you mean Andrew Ranger? I said, what? So every time I think of Andrew Ranger, hear about him, it takes me back to my San Jose event, the highly successful Champ Car event here. Anyway, the big boys in sprint, oh, this is of interest to you. The big boys in Sprint Cup had the weekend off. What a shocker. But the chase is heating up. NASCAR is, as we know, generous with points, but they are also very generous with prize money. And this really shows how successful this series is now. Tony Stewart leads with 3,564 points and $5.2 million in earnings. Very impressive. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. We could use some of that.
Yeah, I know. I don't see a lot of zeros here. These are real numbers. Jimmy Johnson, going for four championships in a row, is second with 3,344 points and $4.9 million in earnings. Teammate Jeff Gordon is third with 3,300 points and $4.5 million in earnings. Our man Monty, Juan Pablo Montoya, is ninth with 2,975 points and earnings of $3.5 million. Very, very impressive.
Congratulations to you for getting through that without busting up laughing.
No. Wow.
We don't laugh anymore. This is serious business, Steve.
Yes, 3.5 million. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty serious.
Yeah. But I'm glad somebody noticed that. Thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome.
MotoGP from Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Danny Pedrosa on pole position but crashed out on his Honda. And some of our listeners were there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Big Slide and maybe a few others.
Yeah. So did last year's winner Valentino Rossi. His Yamaha teammate Jorge Lorenzo took the win, with Alex De Angelis second on a Gresini Honda. Local boy Nicky Hayden took his Ducati to his first podium finish of the season. Colin Edwards from Texas was fifth for Yamaha. And of course, you know, Casey Stoner, ex-world champion for Ducati from Australia, he's out because of some mysterious illness. And this guy, Jorge Lorenzo, was offered a lot of money to leave Yamaha, but he has decided to stay with Yamaha for one more year. This guy is the future Rossi. He is very, very good. You know, last year when he came in MotoGP, if I remember correctly, he was on the Jacques Villeneuve program. His first MotoGP race was on pole position. And every time I saw him on the TV, speed report or picture, he was flying in the air. He crashed quite a few times, even at Laguna Seca last year. First lap, boom, high up in the air and out. And so MotoGP is very interesting. I'm enjoying this season. But I have to say, you know, when they do the race here, then you don't get the MotoGP official feed. You know, the commentators, Nick Harris, I enjoy his commentary very much. Okay, now we go to IRL from Chicagoland. Ryan Briscoe of Australia edges out Scott Dixon of New Zealand to win in a thrilling finish in the land of Lincoln, logging off his third win of the season for Penske Racing and extending his lead in the championship. And this was the typical NASCAR, IRL finish, you know, side by side. And they are saying this is the fourth closest finish in IRL history. Why are you rolling your eyes?
Because there seems to be one of those finishes every year. In IRL.
Every year, almost every year.
And
race,
it's always on an oval.
Yeah, of course. Dario Franchitti from the land of DC and JC was third for Chip Ganassi Racing. Indy Lights, Cool Cat from California, J.R. Hildebrand, is the 2009 Indy Lights champion. Finally, an American driver winning a championship against international competition, which is good, and against good international competition. Securing the title after finishing fifth in Chicagoland, race was won by Daniel Harrington, scoring his and Brian Herter Racing team's first win in the series. And J.R. Hildebrand, you know, we interviewed him once before. He's from Sausalito, right next to Sears Point and San Francisco. And you know who else lives there?
My best friend.
Dr. Vijay Mallya?
Yeah.
Wow, did not know you guys were friends. He has a house there. And also Carlos Santana. Oye, como va?
A lot of people have money and live in Sausalito. It's a very nice town.
Oh, absolutely.
That's gorgeous.
Very expensive.
Yeah, of course. This will be of interest to you. Now some hot laps and action off the track. Ray Everham, ex-crew chief to Jeff Gordon, said, "I do," to his ex-driver Aaron Crocker as the two were married this past week in the South Point Hotel in Las Vegas. Whatever happened to Pink Flamingo?
I don't know. Is Aaron Crocker a man or a woman?
Lady. She's a lady. Whoa,
she's a lady.
Well, she was driving for his Dodge team some years ago, and then one of the drivers, nothing like a disgruntled spouse or employee, one of the drivers, I don't know if it was Mayfield or some other driver, he left in a dispute over pay or whatever, and then he spilled the beans. Oh, he's having an affair with the driver. And so Aaron Crocker turned out to
investigate that.
No, Aaron Crocker turned out to be a home wrecker for the ex Mrs. Everham. But on the other side of the aisle, we have Splitville. Joanna Villeneuve told Jacques, "We can still be friends." How do you say that in French?
On peut être des amis toujours.
Yeah, thank you. According to the 1997 world champion, they are now divorced, and he said that it was both parties were in agreement, amicable, and that's why I did not make it to the grocery store checkout line, People and News of the World, so which is good. They were married in 2006 and have two kids, and from what I understand, she was a singer in some opera company or something. Wonder if she sang, Arrivederci.
She probably got tired of having him around the house all the time.
And now that he's not racing?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, sins of the past, of course, FIA is launching an investigation into Renault. I got to tell you, what I don't want to see happening is where this go, I don't know. But I don't want so much bad press on Renault that Carlos Ghosn says, you know, screw this, I'm out of here.
And he could do that.
Yeah, he has a very tough
business.
Yeah, he is all business. And he has really done a great job for Renault and he turned around Nissan. You know, he used to was in charge of that Nissan program and turned that thing around. So we'll see how that thing goes. Some sad news to report. You know, long, long, long time ago, many, many moons ago in Karachi, when I started having like some initial interest in motor racing, motorsports, did not follow Formula One on a regular basis. There were some names, if you pick up any racing magazine, you hear Richard Petty, AJ Foyt. And one of the names just because the magazine I had was this name, Frank Gardner. He was from Australia and he passed away this past week at the age of 78 after a long illness. And in those days, you know, he was racing in the early 70s in England, and there was another Australian who I believe is now deceased also, Ian Geoghegan. There was Brian Muir, and they used to race normally big American cars, Camaros and Ford Mustangs. And I have very, very good memories of seeing their pictures in racing magazines the few magazines I had. He raced briefly in Formula One, but is best known for his success in British Touring Car Championship, taking the title three times, first in 1967 in a Ford Falcon, the following year in a Ford Escort, and finally in 1973 in a Chevrolet Camaro. After returning to Australia, he established Frank Gardner Racing, which raced BMW machine, winning the 1988 Bathurst 1000. And for those who subscribe to or have access to more of the British Motorsport magazine, they did an interview. Simon Taylor, who is one of the head honchos, he does this segment called Lunch with So-and-So. And he did a lunch with Frank Gardner, so if anybody wants to go and read about him. Okay, and we started today's show with music from India. We shall end this journey today in Africa with Fausto Papetti and his orchestra. So please enjoy the tune. Grazie. Ciao.
Thanks, Nasser, for another outstanding Motorsports Monday. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with the wrap-up in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we go right to the wrap-up, we have no forum updates. Everybody is on holiday. I want to thank our donation. Thank you. This week is to David Perot. Please give Ross our regards. Of course, I want to remind you about the San Francisco Formula One group. They'll be meeting again next week for the Monza race in beautiful Italia. So check them out on their website, sff1.com.
I think recently they had a venue change.
Correct.
And Dr. Mark Farrington, who's coming here this month to Cali, wanted to know where to watch the race. So this would be a good place. And I look forward to seeing Dr. Farrington and, you know.
Are you guys getting together?
Yeah, we'll try to hook up with Howden Ganley, the race car driver from New Zealand, if he's available. So let's see what happens.
Are you buying lunch?
Tacos are on Dr. Farrington.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, quickly, please check out openwheelrants.vox.com. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at marinkarting.com, or you can simply give them a call. 415-898-0999. And please make sure to tell them that F1 Weekly sent you for your 5% discount. Looking to buy or lease a new or used car, but don't have the time to do all the research? JD Auto Reviews will do it for you. They have been researching and learning about cars for 6 years. All you have to do is tell them your price range and what kind of automobile you are looking for. Be it an SUV, truck, sedan, or coupe, JD Auto Reviews will have all the info on your new car so you can go to the dealer with confidence. Just email them at jdautoreviews@gmail.com. We want to mention, of course, our Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and everything else that's out there. Just do a search for F1 Weekly or us individually, and please follow us as on Twitter or make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank all the listeners that make this show possible. From myself, Steve Faub,
Nasser, and, of course, David Tapia, the executive producer. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.